Welcome back, everyone, to another electrifying episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, and as always, I'm joined by the ever-insightful Core.
Glad to be here, Jack. We've got a jam-packed show for you today, folks. Buckle up, because we're diving deep into the cutting-edge world of AI, Web 3.0 innovations, and some spicy tidbits in tech and politics.
That's right, Core. We're going to kick things off by looking at some groundbreaking advancements in AI and how they're transforming industries left and right. From healthcare to finance, it's all on the table.
Yeah, and talk about disruptive technology. We can't forget the buzz surrounding Web 3.0 lately. Decentralized apps and blockchain are about to change the way we interact with the internet fundamentally.
And if that's not enough, we'll also be touching upon some major tech companies making waves with new policies and strategic acquisitions. The corporate chess game, always entertaining.
Definitely, especially with how companies like Meta and Google are jostling for dominance in the AI space. And hey, there's no shortage of drama with the latest political moves affecting tech regulations. Always something spicy brewing.
Absolutely. But before we get into the heavy stuff, let's lighten things up. Core, did you catch the latest meme about that self-learning robot? The one trying to make coffee and almost flooding the kitchen?
Oh yeah, I saw that. Hilarious. It's like, come on, buddy. You had one job. It just goes to show that even our future AI overlords can have a rough day at the office.
Exactly. All right, folks, grab your virtual popcorn. Whether you're commuting, at the gym, or just chilling at home, we promise an engaging ride through the world of technology. Let's get this show on the road.
And don't forget, we love hearing from you. Share your thoughts, ask questions, and get involved. This is AI Unchained, and we're here to break the chains of conventional thinking. Let's do this.
Let's go. Despite all the hype, the reality is more complicated than we first thought. There's still a ton of legacy software written in languages like C and C++. Even with the push towards safer languages for new development, external constraints like certification requirements or the availability of developers with certain expertise often push us back to these older languages.
Oh, absolutely. It sounds great on paper to switch over to safer programming languages, but for a lot of projects, it's just not that simple. The software world has decades of investment in these older languages. It's not just about rewriting code. It's about compatibility and performance as well.
Right. This is where the ability of new systems programming languages to efficiently interact with existing foreign libraries becomes critical. You don't want developers having to wait for all those native cryptography or graphics libraries to be ported to the new language. That's just not feasible, not considering modern project timelines.
And let's not forget about the performance hit. One big concern is that new languages could slow systems down if they're not compatible or efficient in how they call these older libraries. Developers need to seamlessly replace parts of a legacy system without degrading performance.
Exactly. Incremental migration is key here, replacing components bit by bit with safer alternatives. But that's a technical challenge itself, and it requires robust support from the new languages to be a non-issue.
Speaking of safe alternatives, did you hear about Intrader and his crew? Their whole initiative began as a crypto mining enterprise after their hedge fund went belly up. Now they're a major player in cybersecurity and systems programming. Talk about a pivot.
That's wild. From mining crypto to cyber warfare, their story definitely keeps you on your toes. And it all ties back to the versatility needed in software development and how these guys leverage their expertise to enter a completely different domain.
Speaking of pivots, did you catch the news about the U.S. and Israeli airstrikes on Iran's nuclear program? Predatory Sparrow, the pro-Israel hacking group, took down one of Iran's biggest banks and destroyed millions in cryptocurrency as collateral damage. There's so much interplay between traditional tech warfare and cybersecurity now.
It's Cyber Sparta out there. As much as we like to think of these things as separate from our day-to-day tech issues, it all ties back. You never know when your bank's back end is going to become frontline collateral damage in an international cyber conflict.
And these developments impact how we think about quantum computing, too. The work Itagawa and Fuji are doing signals that we might be closer to large-scale quantum computers that can withstand noise than we thought. It's not just physics. It's a game changer for everything from encryption to problem solving in tech.
Exactly. Quantum computers are going to redefine the landscape, not just theoretically, but practically. Everyone wants a piece of that magic to stay ahead in the tech arms race.
Speaking of the tech arms race, did you hear about Travis Kalanick potentially acquiring Pony AI's US arm with funding from Uber? Shares of both companies spiked after the news broke.
Yep, always something exciting with Uber. It seems like they're diversifying from rides to self-driving tech now. Smart move.
And it looks like Alphabet Incorporated is also stepping up its game, snagging a new cloud finance chief from Oracle, a deepening rivalry in the cloud industry for sure.
That's a rivalry we'll want to keep an eye on. It's all about getting those top talents to stay innovative and competitive. Just like how AI tools are streamlining software development, it's fundamentally changing what it means to be a coder.
The skills needed are evolving. It's not just about writing code anymore. It's about knowing how to leverage these AI tools to create more efficient and robust systems.
And it underscores the need for new programming languages to be backward, compatible with older ones. We can't completely replace all those existing systems on a whim. It's about building on what we have more safely and effectively.
Right. Managing that delicate balancing act between innovation and legacy systems will define the next few years in tech for sure.
Absolutely. The future is complex, but that's what keeps it exciting, right?
Exactly, Jack. Complex, challenging, and very exciting. Looks like it's going to be a busy few years ahead in tech.
So, getting back to genome research and the whole DNA sequencing thing, this Alpha Genome tool seems like a massive step forward in our understanding. But Core, don't you think we're getting just a bit carried away with these promises? I mean, it's not like we're curing cancer tomorrow, right?
Yeah, Jack, I get your skepticism. And you're right, Alpha Genome isn't an instant cure-all. But consider this. We've got an AI that can take a sequence up to a million DNA letters long and predict thousands of molecular properties. That's huge for understanding which genes get turned on or off in different cell types. It's not an overnight miracle, but it's definitely a step in the right direction.
Absolutely. And the details they can predict are pretty impressive. It can tell us about RNA production, which DNA bases are closely interacting, and more. It's like giving scientists a high-resolution camera to see what's happening in our genomic blueprint. But there are limitations too, like understanding the impacts of very distant regulatory elements, the parts of the DNA that are far apart but still influence each other.
Right, and that's a tough nut to crack. Those elements can have an influence even if they're more than 100,000 DNA letters away. Despite the progress, we're still figuring out how to capture those distant interactions accurately with AI. It's like trying to hear a whisper across a crowded room.
True, and Alpha Genome is not currently geared for personal genome predictions. It's more about characterizing the performance on individual genetic variants. This focus helps researchers understand the effects of specific mutations without jumping to complex trait predictions, which include a myriad of environmental and biological factors.
Exactly. And it's not just about diseases. This kind of detailed mapping can also help in personalized medicine, future treatments tailored just for you. Imagine a treatment planned precisely by knowing how specific genetic variations might manifest in different tissues. But for now, it's more about building a comprehensive map than diving into the specifics of every individual.
Speaking of personalized treatments, that's a hot topic. We often hear about the potential for AI to revolutionize healthcare, but it's good to remind ourselves that these are foundational tools. We need to continue improving them and gather extensive feedback.
Jack, feedback will indeed play a crucial role here. Alpha Genome is available via API for non-commercial research, which is genius. By allowing the scientific community to test and share their experiences, the model can evolve based on real-world applications.
And making it accessible for research helps democratize the tool, right? You're unlocking this powerful technology for scientists worldwide, which could lead to faster innovations. Plus, involving experts from academia, industry, and government organizations ensures diverse perspectives in improving Alpha Genome.
Spot on. Collaboration will drive this forward. Take, for instance, how Alpha Genome was trained with data from public consortia like ENCODE and GTX. It's built on vast experimental measurements, ensuring robustness. It's like crowdsourcing data to make the model better and more reliable.
Kind of like refining a machine learning model for self-driving cars using millions of miles of real-world data. But now it's DNA sequences instead of driving footage. And speaking of driving, do you think we'll see similar rapid advancements in other fields due to such collaborative models?
Good analogy, Jack. Same principles apply. We can expect rapid advancements across various scientific domains, especially where large data sets and computational power are crucial. It's a network effect. The more it's used, the smarter it gets.
Right. Just like how data from millions of trips improve your favorite map app. But coming back to healthcare, we assist doctors and researchers with these tools, but ultimately it's the synergy of AI capabilities with human expertise that will push boundaries, don't you think?
Absolutely. AI can process and predict on a massive scale, but human intuition, creativity, and empathy are irreplaceable. We're looking at a future where doctors use AI as an assistant, giving them detailed insights so they can make better decisions.
So the big takeaway here is that while these advances are monumental, they're part of an ongoing journey. We're paving the way, but we've got miles to go. Continuous improvement, feedback, and interdisciplinary collaboration will be the keys to unlocking the full potential of AI in genomics. Agreed?
Agreed, Jack. We're scratching the surface of something transformative. The exciting part is seeing where these tools will take us next. The possibilities are massive, and we're just getting started.
It's pretty remarkable to think about how far we've come with the predictive capabilities of tools like AlphaGenome. I mean, we can now accurately predict genetic disruptions which might be causing diseases. This is like unlocking a whole new potential for medical research, especially when it comes to rare Mendelian disorders.
Absolutely, Jack. Rare diseases have always been a tough nut to crack because they're, well, rare and often lack the extensive research that more common diseases benefit from. If we can harness AlphaGenome to identify these genetic variants more accurately, it could totally shift the game for diagnosing and treating these conditions. It's like having a genetic detective with a PhD.
And let's not forget about synthetic biology. Imagine the possibilities. With AlphaGenome's predictions, researchers can design synthetic DNA with specific functions. This isn't just theoretical talk. We're talking about precise activation of genes in nerve cells only, for example, without touching muscle cells. Tailor-made genetic switches.
Right. That would be revolutionary for so many fields, especially neuroscience and regenerative medicine. You effectively program your DNA to behave in a very controlled manner. Could you imagine its impact on treating neurological disorders or even regrowing damaged tissues?
This has broader implications too, like accelerating our understanding of the genome itself. Think about fundamental research, mapping out the critical parts of the genome and defining their roles more precisely. This could clarify what makes each cell type function the way it does. We're unraveling nature's playbook here.
And we already have practical examples of this. Take the study on T-cell acute lymphoblastic leukemia. Using AlphaGenome, researchers could predict that certain mutations would activate the TAL1 gene by introducing a MIB DNA binding site. This connects non-coding variations directly to disease mechanisms. It's a concrete application that underscores AlphaGenome's potential.
The ability to link non-coding variants to disease genes is a massive leap. It means we can start exploring therapeutic targets that were previously in the dark. But here's a thought. Do you think there are any risks involved? You know, maybe these tools could potentially uncover things we're not ready to handle yet.
That's a valid point, Jack. With great power comes great responsibility, right? The predictive power of AlphaGenome must be wielded carefully. There's a risk of misinterpretation or even ethical concerns about genetic modifications. That's where the importance of stringent oversight and ethical guidelines comes in.
Totally agree. Plus, there's the technical side to consider. Implementing such a powerful tool in real-world research can be complex. It's not just about having the technology, but ensuring it's used correctly and effectively. Could that signal an even bigger push for collaboration in the scientific community?
Collaboration is key. And let's face it, the sheer volume of data and complexity involved means that no single entity can handle this alone. We're looking at a future where cross-disciplinary teams, geneticists, bioinformaticians, ethicists, and technologists need to work together seamlessly. It's as mind-bending as it is exciting.
Imagine the synergy. But coming back to real-world implementation, there's also the aspect of data handling. Precise prediction tools generate volumes of sensitive data. Ensuring data privacy and security while making these insights accessible to researchers globally is another significant challenge.
Precisely. Data security and privacy cannot be compromised. Additionally, the infrastructure to support this kind of research needs to be robust and resilient. We're talking about efficient server-side processing, proper frameworks for data sharing, and so on. Maybe big tech companies could step up here with their cloud services?
Yeah, tech giants like Amazon, Google, and Microsoft already have the infrastructure that can handle immense amounts of data. If they can integrate a platform like Alpha Genome and provide the required computational power securely, it could be a symbiotic relationship benefiting both parties.
Agreed. The possibilities are endless, but what's crucial is ensuring we maintain ethical integrity and data security. This will determine whether Alpha Genome becomes a game changer or just another great tool with underutilized potential.
No doubt. And I believe the more we discuss and understand these implications, the more prepared we are to harness this technology responsibly. It's all about moving forward while staying grounded.
Exactly, Jack. Technology and ethics must walk hand in hand. The potential here is staggering, but our approach needs to be measured and thoughtful. This is one conversation that definitely has layers to peel back.
Couldn't have said it better, Cor. Here's to advancing science responsibly and unlocking the mysteries of our genome without losing sight of the larger picture. So, Cor, with this new legislation potentially forcing those big tech players to allow sideloading, support third-party app stores, and alternate payment systems, it feels like we're on the brink of a major shift in the app ecosystem. What's your take?
Oh, absolutely, Jack. I mean, imagine the possibilities for developers and consumers. Developers won't be shackled by the limitations and fees imposed by the dominant app stores. They can innovate more freely and actually tell users where to get better prices without fear of reprisal. It's like moving from a tiny fenced yard to an open field.
It's funny you mention that because when you think about it, Apple has maintained a very, let's call it, cultivated garden approach to their ecosystem. Everything is trimmed, tidied, and ridiculously costly. Allowing sideloading would be like handing out keys to the garden gates.
Exactly. And on the flip side, for users, it means more choices, possibly lower costs, and the ability to truly control their device experience. Right now, it's like, hey, I want that app, and your wallet is already quivering with fear thinking about that 30% cut.
True. But do you think this will dilute Apple's and Google's hold on quality control and security? Opening doors could mean inviting more security risks. Well,
there's definitely a risk there. But we have to remember, this isn't about abandoning their app stores entirely. It's about healthy competition. Look at it like having different grocery stores. You might still choose to shop at Whole Foods, Apple Store, because you trust their organic choices. But having a Walmart third-party store next door doesn't hurt. If anything, it keeps Whole Foods on their toes.
Yeah. Noting that sometimes you just need decent bananas without the organic handpicked by elves price tag. Another interesting point is the impact on new startups. If they can avoid those hefty fees, the runway just got extended by quite a bit. They can invest more into R&D instead.
It's a game changer. And think about the potential boost for alternative payment systems. Not being funneled through the App Store's payment systems could mean significant savings for both developers and users. Ever tried paying for something in an app just to be nudged into the App Store's terribly inefficient process?
Totally. Those little nudges are like tiny paper cuts that add up to a gushing wound over time. But Cor, beyond tech and business, I believe this kind of legislation ties back to user rights and digital autonomy. It's not just about saving money, it's giving people more control over something they own.
Couldn't agree more. And on a larger scale, it's about fostering innovation by breaking the oligopoly. But here's a question, Jack. How do you think these companies will push back? Because you know they're not going to just open the floodgates without a fight.
Oh, they'll definitely lobby like their lives depend on it. They'll probably cite security risks, concerns about user data privacy, and the usual think of the children rhetoric. Plus, there's always the sneaky tricks of complying in the least user-friendly way possible, like hiding the sideloading option deep within settings.
That's true. Malicious compliance, where they technically follow the rules but make it so difficult you'd rather not bother. Tim Sweeney already called it out. It's going to be a cat and mouse game for sure.
Right. And while we're at it, what about the revenue model for these tech giants? a significant portion of their income comes from that 30% cut. With this legislation, they'll have to think of new ways to generate revenue.
Yeah, they could shift towards more services, subscriptions, hardware innovation. Who knows? Maybe we'll see more value-added services that actually justify the premium prices rather than just being gatekeepers.
Well, one thing's for sure, Kerr. We're going to witness some pretty interesting shifts in the market. Here's to hoping it's for the better and not just more convoluted policies to navigate.
Cheers to that, Jack. Now, let's switch gears. We've seen how software is becoming crucial to nearly every industry. Do you think this shift towards a more open app ecosystem will ripple back through other sectors too?
Well, that was quite the ride today. We covered everything from the latest breakthroughs in AI, the big moves in the tech business world, to some fiery political debates.
Absolutely, Jack. The new developments in self-learning algorithms truly show how quickly this field is advancing. It's challenging to keep up.
And who can forget that spirited debate about the recent tech regulations? I think we left no stone unturned, which is what our listeners crave.
Definitely. Also, the discussion on how AI is reshaping industries like transportation and healthcare was fascinating. It's really exciting to see how these technologies can make a tangible difference in people's lives.
Don't forget our segment on the startup ecosystem. Those emerging entrepreneurs had some incredible innovations worth keeping an eye on.
For sure. And as always, we had our fair share of laughs, especially when discussing those bizarre headlines. I mean, who knew AI could be used for baking award-winning pies? Laughs.
Laughs, seriously. That was a curveball. But it's what makes these sessions so much fun.
Yep. And we hope all our listeners had as much fun as we did. We certainly enjoy unpacking these topics every week.
Couldn't agree more. And with that, it's time to wrap things up. Thank you for joining us today on AI Unchained. We genuinely hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights.
Yes, thank you, everyone. Your support and enthusiasm are what keep us going. We love hearing from you, so keep those comments and questions coming.
Absolutely. And remember, we'll be back with more exciting topics and heated debates.
So stay curious, stay informed, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time, everyone.
Take care.